Hello, and welcome to another Economic Week in Review for August 14th through 18th, 2006. It's read to you by Jonathan Andrew Walter of JawSpeak.com, formerly EconTechBlog.com. Thanks for listening. I eagerly look forward to hearing from you, my listener. Hopefully my listeners. Please, all of you, send me feedback to jaw@jawspeak.com or leave a comment directly on my blog at jawspeak.com. When you visit jawspeak.com to leave me a comment, go ahead and you can also check up the show notes for the latest episode, which includes sources I used in order to compile this release. Here goes. For the economic week, from August 14th through 18th, 2006, this is the news. Despite continued slowing in residential construction, generally benign reports during the week coincided with falling oil prices and a rebounding stock market. For the week, the S&P 500 index rose 2.8% to 1,302, and the yield of the 10-year U.S. Treasury note fell 13 basis points to 4.83%. Tuesday's report on July producer prices showed an increase for finished goods of only 0.1%. While price appreciation among fixed goods has been checked in recent months, there has been an increase among intermediate and crude producer goods, prompting concern that higher prices might be on the way. Industrial production in July increased a solid 0.4%. The increase was due largely to a 2.0% hike in utilities production, spurred by the nationwide heat wave. Outside of this one, frequently volatile component, other signals indicated a continued slowdown in manufacturing production. Wednesday's Consumer Price Index, CPI, posted good news regarding the prospect of inflation. The 0.2% increase in core inflation in July was a reduction from the 0.3% readings for the previous 4 months. This is an indication that inflation may have slowed if the trend continues. Residential construction continued its downward spiral in July, falling 2.5%, the fifth decline in 6 months. Total housing starts are down 13.3% from year-ago levels, with the downward trend most pronounced among single-family homes, which are down 16.6%. Total housing starts are down across the nation, with the highest declines in the Northeast and Midwest, 18.9% and 16.6% respectively. The West is down 13.9%, and the South, they're down 10.7% from 1 year ago. Thursday's report on jobless claims showed initial claims of 312,000 during the week ended August 12th. This is a decline from the prior week's revised claim of 322,000. Continuing jobless claims increased again, up 34,000 during the week ended August 5th, suggesting sluggish hiring. The Conference Board's release of leading economic indicators fell short of expectations, with the decline of 0.1%. The fourth decline in 6 months. A 0.2% decline in building permits provided the sharpest drop among index indicators. The report indicated that, despite recent favorable data on growth and inflation, the economy remains vulnerable as rising interest rates and energy prices continue to have an impact. How about next week? For the week ahead, next week's reports include data on existing as well as new home sales, due on Wednesday and Thursday. Also on the calendar are reports on jobless claims and durable goods, both due on Thursday. Looking back at this week, the Producer Price Index, if you don't know all about it, is a report that comes out once a month with revisions by the Bureau of Labor Statistics of the Department of Labor. You can go directly to the show notes. I'll give you a link to the real report if you want to kind of dig in there and see what exactly is coming out of the government or agency there. It's a measure of the average change over time in the selling prices of a fixed basket of goods by stage of production, industry, and commodity. It's considered a leading indicator for consumer inflation. The core PPI excludes food and energy prices, which account for roughly one quarter of the broad PPI, and they tend to fluctuate wildly. They provide a truer reflection of inflationary trends. Just looking at the core PPI, it's going to give you a truer gauge of inflationary trends. How about the core PPI? What happened? Well, the core PPI came out last week on the 15th. The expected value was 0.4% up. Actual value for the whole thing, not just the core, was 0.1%. That's why it was good news. It looked like inflation maybe wasn't hurting us as much as we think it is, or we were worrying it was. But then we just look at the core PPI, which excludes food and energy, the volatile components. We expected it to go up 0.2%, and it was down actually 0.3%. Nice indication if this can continue. How about the Consumer Price Index? This was another really big report that came out this week, and it had decent news. It comes out once a month from the Bureau of Labor Statistics of the Department of Labor. It's a widely followed indicator of inflation. The CPI is a measure of the average change over time in the prices paid by urban consumers for a fixed market basket of consumer goods and services. Once again, there's a core CPI as well as a core PPI. Here the core CPI excludes, guess what, food and energy prices, and those account for roughly one quarter of the broad CPI, and they tend to fluctuate widely, just like in the core PPI. Just looking at the core CPI gives you a truer reflection of inflationary trends. Well, what happened? The core CPI, which came out on the 16th, was expected to be up 0.3%. It was up 0.2%. The overall CPI was right on with the expected value of up 0.4%. New residential construction was another report. That one came out on the 16th as well. New residential construction comes out once a month from HUD and the Census Bureau. It's a report on the construction of private residential structures, things like single-family homes and apartment buildings. When new residential construction is robust, purchases of household furnishings and appliances also quickly follow. We expected there to be 1.81 million new units in July, although actually it was 1.79. One of the last reports that came out was initial jobless claims. This comes out every week. You probably know it by now. It's a report of the number of individuals who filed for unemployment insurance for the first time in the prior week. And now the weekly figure indicates trends. The four-week moving average is a truer gauge. Lastly, the leading economic indicators came out. This one's interesting. There's a composite index of 10 economic indicators that typically lead overall economic activity. Includes things like housing permits, new orders for consumer goods, consumer expectations, as well as performance of the S&P 500 index. Leading economic indicators were expected to be up 0.1%. They were down 0.1%. Initial jobless claims also, as I mentioned earlier, expected to be up 315. They were only up 312,000. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your feedback, your comments on the blog, as well as suggestions and questions you have for me to include in future shows. Visit me there at my blog, jawspeak.com.